Thank you, Brother Ogden, for that blessing. Well, I want you to open your Bible to 2 Timothy, I guess. They're pretty close together. If you can find the first one, go to your right. 2 Timothy this morning. And we're going to read a few verses beginning in the very first chapter. I'm going to read down about through verse 1 through 12 in 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, I'm going to talk to you a little bit on whom do you know. You know, a lot of folks like to brag on who they know. Somebody said it's not what you know, it's who you know. I'm not so sure about that. I know we all probably have heard some folks that love to drop names, you know. Now, you know what I'm talking about? Try to kind of build theirself up by using somebody else's name. You got to watch out for folks calling you on the telephone or tricking you. There's a lot of, I've never seen so many con men on the loose as seems to be here in about the last year or two. It's been tremendous. And they're good at that name dropping on the phone. They've thought through a trap to set you with. And we had one call the office recently. And a guy was actually pretending to be a deputy sheriff. And through a whole long story, wanting us to send some money. And he had a line, let me tell you. He fooled the secretary, about had me fooled before Stephen come in. But anyway, I finally said, you know what? I know a real sheriff, and I'm going to check with him. He wanted to get off the line then. You got to watch that stuff. Had another paper bill come through the mail, a legitimate looking bill, and it was to we had parked a vehicle in a parking lot and was being fined, had to pay the parking ticket, 50 something bucks, and had our tag number, had it right. Only trouble was it was a parking lot in New York City. We don't have a vehicle that could make it to New York City. Not only that, what business would we have sending it up there anyhow? But you know, folks will get a bill like that and they'll pay it. I mean, they, you know, in the whole conglomeration of everything, they'll get tricked like that. And they'll drop a lot of names on you. Well, you'll see in the text I want to pick out here how I picked a title to say, whom do you know? Chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy. So Paul is writing to Timothy, my dearly beloved son in the ministry, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. See, Paul was in jail. Can you imagine somebody saying, you know that that preacher daddy of yours, the one you call your father in the ministry, well, they got him locked up. But he's saying to Timothy, don't be ashamed of me being a prisoner of the Lord. Says, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who have abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. That's why he was in jail. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Now I'm going to stop at verse 12 because I'm going to make reference to it some more. But Paul says, for I know whom I have believed. Now, if you want to know a name that's important, you better know that name. That's the one Paul is talking about, of course. Now, Paul in the Roman jail, writing to his son in the ministry, we understand, and Paul's testimony, we understand. God called Paul. Listen, Paul was the opposite when his name was Saul, remember? He was going about persecuting the church. He was on his way to Damascus. He had formal letters. He had authorization to take those, and especially those Jews that were believing in Christ. And I mean, here he was going out to persecute the church. And all of a sudden, he has a confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. Remember the story in Acts 9? Remember how the light shines down from heaven? Remember how Paul never got over that light, brother? I mean, God put the shoe on the other foot. God changed his direction. God called him Paul after, Saul carries with it the word great, and Paul carries with it the word little or small. And the Lord really changed Paul there, of course. And that sudden change is actually a picture. As he confronted the Lord, or the Lord confronted him on the Damascus Road, it's a picture of one day the Jewish nation being confronted by Jesus and having a quick conversion, just like Paul did on that Damascus Road. I mean, the Bible is an amazing thing, the way everything fits and pictures and so forth, the truth. And Paul says here, and he tells Timothy here in verse 7, he said, don't be ashamed nor be in fear. He said, don't have a spirit of fear. He's telling him that. He bases that on saying, I know whom I have believed. Amen. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he knew. Amen. Well, you know what, today there's a lot we don't know. I have to admit, I can't understand the craziness in the world today. I might as well not try. I want to improve it any way I can. I want to help. I want to contend for the faith and all that. But the common sense has flown away. You just can't hardly understand what in the world's going on. When you pull up to the gas station, there's no common sense there. It's amazing. I mean, that the thing, it's running the very economy they want to talk about building, and it don't have to be so. We got plenty in America. We'd keep it here. We don't have to buy it from a bunch of bandits somewhere. We could get it from our friends, but no, we don't. So that doesn't make any sense. I did hear the czars up there out of the White House. I guess he was the transportation czar or the whatever it was, energy czar, I guess. They had him before Congress. I mean, you probably saw this if you wasn't watching Oprah or something. But they asked him, do you want gas prices to come down? And he said, no. Yet we want to build the economy? That's crazy. But the president made a speech on it. Did you get any of his speech? Did you hear where he said over there that we could use algae? What is it? That's not it, is it? Green scum. All right, green scum. Now, he said we could make gasoline out of that. Somebody said, all right, well, that might be 50 years down the road, and where would we get all that scum? I suggest going right in the center of Washington, D.C. I think you'd have all you could ever get and need right there. Just start right in the center. Amen. That's my opinion. I don't understand some of this crazy stuff. Why we're pacifying the enemy in a place, and I believe it was a suburb of Detroit up there, but in a Muslim neighborhood recently, the authorities in the city went to a church and to stop them from singing hymns because the Muslim neighbors were offended when they heard them. Hey, that's America I'm talking to you about. America. I mean, this is crazy, folks. In that same neighborhood or one close to it, they wanted to close up a restaurant because they could smell the bacon frying. And that, hey, I'm not making it up. I'm telling you the truth here. It's crazy. In South Carolina, our Eric Holder, our Attorney General, has just stopped the South Carolinians from making folks produce pictures, photos of themselves to qualify to vote. All right. Now you got to give your photo when you go to the airport. You got to put your driver's license out every time you turn around. In fact, I was right downtown, and I was in the tractor place down here, which we go in sometime, and I saw that they had slingshots on sale. Flips, we used to call them as kids. And it was a good price, so I bought one of them. Don't mess around my house, brother. I bought some marbles to go in it, too. Anyway, I get up there. Now, I saw the sign where you bought the flips. It said 18 or older for the big one that I bought. And it's not very big. About like what I made when I was 10 years old. Anyway, it said 18 years or older. So I went to pay for the flip, and I had to show my driver's license. I did. Now, I didn't know where to be offended or complimented. Offended if I couldn't be trusted with it. Complimented if I didn't look over 18. Amen. I don't understand all this. There's some things we just don't know. But you know, I'm glad I'm with Paul. I do know whom. Amen. I may not can explain all the crazy stuff that's going on today. I can't tell you why the Florida legislature has to pass laws that the judges, Brother Joe, the judges have got to rule on the Constitution, our constitutional laws, and not foreign laws. I'll tell you why. Because Sharia law now is being brought into our courthouses, even here in Florida. Here's a little card I slipped in my Bible right here. It's a billboard up in Kansas City. And this billboard says, Sharia, got questions? Get answers. Call so-and-so. And this is the Islamic Circle of North America to teach you how good Sharia law is. You ladies especially ought to be excited about that. Amen. That's why the Florida legislature, that's why many other states are now having to literally pass law that the judges, the liberal judges, cannot bring that into court cases. We're supposed to be on the Constitution, brother. We're supposed to be under American law. What in the world are we doing? Did you see where Ginsburg, the elderly lady still on the Supreme Court, I believe? Did you see where she was speaking in Egypt? And you know, Egypt now, the Arab Spring has broke loose over there and got all that business going on. And so they're trying to get a constitution over there to start a new government. And she told them it wouldn't be good to pattern after Americans. She even said, I am handicapped by an old constitution. That's one of our Supreme Court judges. Hey, folks, I don't understand all that, but I do know some things that they can't take away, amen? You know what I know? I know I'm saved and you can't take it away, amen? 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, you know, I know that. I know it because I read what God said. He said, if I believe that I could know it, but more than that, I know it because a change come on the inside of me when I got saved. Oh yeah, I become a new creature in Christ. Old things begin to pass away. My taste changed. What I used to enjoy, I didn't enjoy anymore. What I used to not enjoy, I begin to enjoy. Hey, do you enjoy going to church now? Well, when I first went to church, I didn't enjoy that. But when I got changed on the inside, I started enjoying it. That might I'll tell some of you something that's so miserable when you come to church. You need a change on the inside. You need the new birth. You need to meet this man that Paul was talking about. He said, I know whom I believe. Boy, he had something because he knew that. And he'd been changed. He was changed on that Damascus road. And I want to say to you, you know you've been saved. You'll know it because a change takes place. You'll know it because you love the brethren you used to not love. You've heard me say it before. I come in and sit on the back row of a church. That girl invited me to church, wouldn't go with me nowhere else, and I heard the gospel for the first time, and I didn't like the hearing of it. I didn't even like the people that was presenting it. I didn't like the preacher. I didn't like the song leader. I didn't like the choir. I just liked the girl, so I came back. But you know what? When I got saved, I started loving those same people. And that's what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us over there that that change will make a difference. We read over there where in 1 John 3 and verse 4, it says, we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. I wouldn't argue with you. Some of them's hard to love. And you may be hard to love. And some folks don't even love me, if you can imagine that. But bless God, the Spirit of God inside of them, if they're saved, will. Amen. I mean, the Bible says in Romans 8:16 that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And let me say this, there's a kinship between believers because the Holy Spirit lives in both. And that makes a difference. Oh, that makes a difference. It gives a spiritual discernment that you don't have in just the normal lost condition that a man's in. One other thing, I mentioned the con men a while ago. What they don't understand is that there's a spirit of truth living in here. There's a God's Holy Spirit. And yeah, we might get tricked sometime, but generally if we'll just give it time, the Holy Spirit will bring the Word of God and show the light on it, and you'll have discernment you don't find in others. That's the Spirit of God that lives within us. Biggest reason, though, I know I'm saved this morning is what Bob was singing about. The whole price has been paid. All of our sins was nailed to the tree. Amen. Thank God for that. I mean, Isaiah 53:6 tells us there over there that all like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's what the song was about. That's why we that are saved have a witness when we hear a song like that. We have a feeling from the inside out, brother, that says, amen, he paid my debt. I don't owe that sin debt anymore. He paid it completely. And when I stand before him, all I got to say is, Jesus took my place. He paid it all. All to him I owe. I don't deserve heaven for anything I could ever do or have done, but Jesus paid it all. Amen. Wonderful truth. Wonderful truth. You know, I'm glad it's all on him because he'll never fail me. That's what Paul is saying. I know whom I have believed. I know. He said, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul said, I'm trusting him all the way. Now listen, Paul could have bragged on his Jewish background. He could have bragged on being the Pharisee of Pharisees. He could have bragged on all that he knew, and he did know it. And he could speak many languages, and he'd spent a lifetime, and he was a bright man, and he knew it all from the Jewish law. But when he came to Jesus, all he was concerned about was knowing Jesus and him crucified, because the sin debt was placed on Jesus. Paul immediately began to get in the synagogues and reason that Jesus was the Christ. He was the Messiah. And the truth was, Paul had the education to back it up, but that's not what motivated him. It was the fact he'd been born again. He was different. He was no longer Saul, he was Paul. And along with Paul, I can thank God today I can stand here and say I know I'm saved. That's not bragging on me, that's bragging on him. Amen. Then I'd say this, I know I have God's word. Hey, you know what? You get a new car today if you can afford one. It'll have an instruction book in it somewhere. It'll probably pay you to read it. In fact, you'll probably have to read it to figure out what all the buttons are. But I want to tell you something. When you get saved, God gives you an instruction book. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. Amen? You know why we don't run as smooth as we ought to sometimes? We don't stay in the instruction book enough. We don't go by what God's Word says enough. You know, this old Bible is still here. The enemy's tried to get rid of it for so long, but it's still here. Amen. I mean, history tells a story of trying to get rid of the Word of God, and yet it's continued to grow, and it's still the one book above all others across this whole world. And the truth is that it's God's Word. It's live. They can't get rid of it, and it's still the words. of eternal life. You think about it. Our American forefathers knew what it was. Old Webster and Webster's Dictionary in 1828, if you look up the word inspiration in it, you know what it'll say? I wrote a note in the margin of my Bible. Let me read it to you. Webster 1828, the infusion, talking about inspiration, defining inspiration now, the infusion of ideas into the mind by the Holy Spirit, so no doubt of their supernatural origin. And then as a reference, it gives 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Hey, say, who was that? One of our forefathers. Our forefathers knew the Bible was the word of God. That's why it's still found in the courtrooms today. Isn't it amazing? You can't find it in the schoolroom. Even a teacher with it on her or his desk may be in trouble. But go ahead and wait till you become a juvenile delinquent and get in court, and then they'll make you swear on it. Little inconsistency there somewhere, isn't it? In fact, if you go ahead and get in the prison system, then they'll let you have a Bible. Little inconsistent, but that's the way it is. But hey, this book, no matter how they tried to get rid of it, it's God's holy word. Amen. And Jesus said over there in John chapter 6 and in verse 63, he tells us over there what the words really are. He tells us there that it is the spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. Watch it now. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Who said that? Jesus did. That's why the Bible's a living book. Did you ever experience any time that you picked up the Bible and began to read it, and it read you, and it jumped off the page, and it talked to you? I mean, man, no other book's going to do you that way. Only the Word of God. You might be reading in the Old Testament or somewhere. It may be applying doctrinally to somebody else. But all of a sudden, God spiritually ministers to you with it. That's what the Spirit will do with the Bible. It's God's Word. It's God's Word. And I know I have God's Word. I'm so thankful that I don't have to guess what God's will is. I already got a book that tells me what it is. You know, you ought to know that by all you see fulfilled today. Romans chapter 1 tells us a time where the pagans worship the creature more than the creator. Do you know we've come back to pagan circle now, back in America? Do you know what's worshiped today? Earth is worshiped. The green god is worshiped. Do you understand back in 1970 when they first created Earth Day? When they first created, you know what they were preaching then? That the world was getting colder. It was going to freeze to death. That's the truth. Check me out. That was what got it started. Now it's global warming, and they don't know which side's up. They never did. But they worship the earth, worship the creature more than the creator. That's why the animals got more rights than you got. I saw this. I was flipping through, and I saw the program where they have the police dogs, the canines that are going along with the officers in the little wagon to chase the bad guys. So they caught some bad guys, and the officer was out with his dog going in the bushes because one of them they had arrested threw his gun away in the bushes. They needed the gun, and the dog was going to find the gun, and the dog could find the gun. But all of a sudden, about halfway into the bushes, the dog stopped because there was a big rattlesnake daring him to go any further. Now, this canine officer, they had the cameras, this was all for the camera, showed him there with his dog holding him back. And this is what the officer said. He said, we're out here a ways. He said, it would take a long time for me to get a backup unit out here to remove the snake, to put him somewhere else where he would be comfortable. I've comforted a few in my life. They felt no more pain after I got through with them. Can you believe all of a sudden the rattlesnake, and I mean that thing was coiled up and he was daring that dog to come any closer, but all of a sudden we can't kill him. He's got as much right to his space as we have, and that's his territory. We've gone crazy, folks, in this world. In America, standing for that kind of junk. I guess Peter will be after me now. Whatever that stands for. Somebody told me the other day, and I can't remember. Truth is, folks, we've gone nuts because we've gotten away from God's book. You know what they hate about this Bible? Lots of things. One of the things they hate is when you get into the book of Genesis, into the creation story, they tell you that man has dominion. I don't like that. No, sir. The snake's got as much right as you have. Amen. I'm saying to you, I know I have God's word, and if I go by it, it'll explain some things. It'll keep me straight. You don't know all the globalism business that's going on that's destroying America today. I may get on this later because I stuck it in my Bible, but I don't have time for it now. But here's something from Alan Keyes. Alan Keyes was ambassador appointed under President Reagan. He's a black man that even tried to run for president a little bit, and the liberal media never would let him even get into the debates. And by the way, let me say this. If there's anything the liberal media hates, it's a black man that's a conservative. And so they hated Alan Keyes, but he's still around. And he's written a letter here saying, you better stop Agenda 21. It's the UN trying to take over America. And I wish I had time to read it to you. Destroy our Constitution. And it's a treaty that we're going to sign which gives them power over our Constitution. And part of it is in the guise of environmentalism. EPA type stuff. And he goes on through here, and I'll come back to this sometime. It targets private property. It confiscates your homes and all because in the communist viewpoint, all the land is owned by everybody, and we've got to equalize the population. And one of the things it says here, if you want to know why the gas prices are going up, is it plainly states in here they want to stop the private ownership of what you and I would call our cars or automobiles. Hey, you look at me a little bit like, no. Nah. Well, how much else has happened you said wouldn't? All the rest of it that you can't understand. I'm going to say to you, you better know some things. Paul said, I know whom. I got news for you. I can get above all this garbage I'm talking to you about, and I can know him. I can know him, brother, that has eternal life and makes sense where the world don't make any sense. And Paul said, I know whom I've believed. Paul was in a Roman jail. He wasn't worried about Caesar. He wasn't worried about what they were even going to do to him. He was looking above that. Amen. And you know what? I can say I know some things. I know I have God's word. I know he answers prayer. Boy, last night at the Restore-a-thon, don't you know God answered prayer? Didn't you see that last night? You know, if there's ever been a study you want to put on the test tube that would prove God answers prayer, this church would fit. If you'll take the last 40 or 41 years in this town, this little city, this little population, under the circumstances, with the hard, plain, honest preaching that I have done from this pulpit, this church has to have had God get into it or it wouldn't be here. I'm saying to you, God is the answer. He answers prayer. How many prayers? How many times have we been at a stopping point and God took over? Last night when the final matching hour came and I didn't know that was coming in, and then all of a sudden, what a challenge, and yet we come in and broke last year's record. Had to be God. Had to be God. Had a lot of people out there praying. And God's provided for us through the years. He's protected us. I'll be honest with you, there's been a few battles I might could have dodged. Somebody said, preacher will fight at the drop of a hat and he'll drop the hat. No, I don't like it. But sometime I've had to stand and I've seen God deliver us in the battles. I've seen him answer prayer. And the stories are too many, and many of you know them. And boy, if anything, if God lets me to go to the heavenly library one day, I'm gonna check out some of the videos of some of the things that we got into. and just watch them again and be reminded again of the grace and power of God Almighty. Amen. Amen. Folks, in this day and time, it is easy to be afraid. Paul tells Timothy here to not have a spirit of fear. Not have a spirit of fear. There's people preparing all kind of ways for the bad stuff they think's coming, and they may be right. It may be coming. I'm prepared too, but in a different way. I know whom I believed. I got my trust in him. I mean, he is my answer. There's no doubt about it. Paul says against that day. That text there in verse 12, he said, I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. There is that day coming. There is a time of judgment coming. I'm talking about even for believers, we'll go before the judgment seat and Christ will have to be our answer there. But this old world don't have him as an answer, but they're going to face that day anyhow. It's a day of terror for those that don't know the Lord. I cannot imagine why folks aren't more afraid than they are today with all the pagans telling them the world's coming to the end and all that. And some of them are pretty nervous, no doubt about it. But you know, you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be a blessed day one day when we see his face. It'll be a blessed day for the saved, while others have great fear. We forget sometime the difference of why the Lord left the church here. We're to sound the trumpet. We're to get out the gospel. We're to fellowship and help each other and all that. But the big thing is we get out a message that makes the difference between heaven and hell, between saved and lost, to tell them about Jesus. Paul said here, I mean, somebody could have looked at Paul's condition and said, boy, it's over for him. Yet Paul actually had a ministry, if you read the Bible, from the jail for a long time. And Paul had the comfort of knowing whom he believed in. I ask you this morning, do you know whom you believe in? I want to ask you, if you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what are you trusting? Who are you trusting? Where is your hope if it's not in Christ? My friend, there is no hope in this world. Certainly not in the political system. Certainly not in the things that are going on today. As you trust in him, one day it'll be too late. Today you can change from whatever else you have your trust in and put it in that one that is reliable, that one that died for your sins, paid your sin debt, rose from the dead, and stands with open arms to receive you if you'll come to him today. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a country gospel song. Haven't heard it in a while on our radio, but we have played it sometimes in the past. And it carries a tremendous message. It's a lost dad that is asleep. He's having a dream, but he don't know it's a dream. And in that dream, he dreams the Lord has come. He dreams he sees his wife and his daughter across the river. And of course he wants them, he wants to be with them, he wants to reach to them. But one of the lines I remember the little girl saying, she's saying, Father, you can't come with us. Can you imagine the horror of a daddy seeing his wife and kids going with the Lord and he can't come? He can't cross over with them? Can you imagine that? That song's worth listening to. A lot of truth in it. And then you know what? He wakes up and he's got another chance. It's a dream. Have you ever had a dream that you're so glad it was a dream? Sure we have. Well, my friend, one day it won't be a dream. And it won't be a second chance. The time is now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. That now is the accepted time. I ask you today, do you know whom you've believed in? Like Paul, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Today you're in a good place to do that. Today you can leave that seat, come down the aisle and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You can leave this building knowing something, knowing whom you believe, knowing you have eternal life, knowing that you're saved, that you don't have to fear that day when it comes. That day of facing God. Oh, you need to face him with the Lord Jesus Christ. In him there's salvation. Outside of him there's no hope. Do you know him? I hope you do. Let's bow our heads.